Well, good morning. Man, if you happen to be new to Beltway Park, man, we welcome you. It's an honor to have you. We're actually one church in multiple locations. In Abilene, we have on the far south side of town, but we also have a north campus. Love seeing you guys, north campus. And we also have people that are all over the world. We got pockets of people. Sometimes they gather in groups, in community. Sometimes they're in families and such like that, but they're in places literally all over the world. We love having our online family part of us as well. South campus here with you in person. It's a joy to be with you because we exist for one simple reason. We want to help each other take our next step. Somebody shout next step. Next step. Our next steps with Jesus, because we're confident that those lead to abundant life. And this is a reality I know. You listen to me. How many of you want abundant life? Hands up. Every person on planet Earth at some level wants to have what they believe is abundant life, that what we all want, abundant life. And I would challenge that the things we do with our time, our money, the way we invest our lives tells us where it is that we think will bring us abundant life. This morning, I have a simple question for you. What would it take for you, for your family to be like really happy? I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? What would it take? Is it even possible for you to be happy? See, I'm going to challenge that every person on planet Earth wants to be happy. We want abundance. We want blessing. We want all that's tied into that together. I know this because I have watched some of the stuff that goes into our culture. Like a decade ago, there was a song that was part of a soundtrack for Despicable Me 2, which was an average movie. It was good, but it's okay. But the soundtrack was a big hit, still being played today all over the world, simply showing that there is a desire in the name of the song to be this, happy. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Man, if we were in days of old, we would say, Dick, that's a great song. Got a good beat, easy to dance to. I give it a 9. And if you're too young to have any idea what that joke is, ask your grandparents about American Bandstand or just Google it. I mean, come on. Seriously, the song Happy is fun to listen to, right? Makes even an overly serious guy like me start getting a little, that's all the groove I got right there. You got it right there. See, if you don't know it, ladies, we guys, we often don't like to dance, so we just got to keep it tight, kind of move it a little bit. We just got to get on the dance floor. That's it. Then you have the handful of guys that can actually do it. But we love that kind of song, and I'm not the only one who likes a song. It was a number one bestseller a decade ago, but if you look at Spotify, you look at Apple Music, things like that, it is still up towards the top of songs that people are listening to. Question, did you pay attention to the words of the song? I would challenge, one of the things we've got to do in America, we've got to get better at, is we've got to listen to the songs that we're singing. Sometimes that would be very scary for us, because if we listen to some of the words, some of the stuff we're singing is pretty vile. Not this song. This song is different. This song, believe it or not, is nonsensical. Like, I actually pulled up the words. You ready? It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Anybody getting it yet? Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like your room without a roof. Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy, clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Listen to me. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Grew up in rural West Texas. Not a lot of Ivy Leaguers where I'm from. But I've read a few books, have a little bit of an education. Nothing about this makes any sense to me whatsoever. I'm self-aware enough to know I'm really left brain and imagery and creativity is lost on me. It's not. So it could be that the song just being fun, the song being lighthearted, the song having a good beat and you can clap and it just seems like it feels like a happy song. That may be the totality of what it is. But listen to me. It doesn't say anything about how to be happy. It just says, be happy. And I feel like a lot of people in our culture are saying, I'd love to. I just don't know how. There was a survey done each and every year called the World Happiness Study. And it looks at countries and talks about which of the countries is the happiest on planet Earth. You think America ranks up there very high? Listen to me. The richest nation in the history of humanity is what we are living right now. We in America are part of the wealthiest people group to ever exist in the history of our world. Yet, when it comes to studies on happiness, we are not in the top five. We are not in the top 10. We are not in the top 20. America, in the good old year 2023, according to this one study, you can look at it yourself, we rank number 23 in the world when it comes to measuring our happiness. Think about our homes. If many of us used a word to describe our home, it probably wouldn't be the word happy. It would probably be the word struggling. It's what I hear a lot. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Raising kids in this culture is harder than we think, right? Finances, man, many of us are living paycheck to paycheck, more month than there is money. There are more and more blended families, and blended families can be incredible, but they're complicated, man. Like, we're raising my kids, raising her kids, we got all the exes to deal with, etc. And then there are the single parent homes, more single parent homes than we've ever had. There's grandparent led homes, more of those than we have ever had in life, etc. You get what I'm saying? I mean, we all want to say, yeah, I want my home to be happy. I want to walk in everything God has for us. But sometimes we think like that is just like pie in the sky dreaming. And I'm listening to me into this struggle for this desire of happiness that every human has comes Jesus. I understand that Jesus spoke these words over 2,000 years ago. But the desire for happiness was just as real back then as it is today. If America in the 21st century has proven anything, we have proven that wealth and all the things that come with wealth will not bring what we thought it would bring. Jesus spoke to the issue of happiness and the struggle. And in the very first sermon that we have that he recorded, the very first word out of his mouth, he looked at a mass of people like you and I, and he said, blessed. Say blessed. Hear that word. Now I know some of you are thinking, Pastor, blessed and happy, not the same word. True, in English. But in the ancient language of the Bible, the concept of happy is tied into the word blessed. But they did not mean by it, and Jesus did not mean by it, the same thing we mean by today. They meant something far deeper, something far richer than what we most often think of happiness today. Most of us think that happiness is when circumstances are pleasant, almost perfect. When we are relatively free from trouble in our homes, happiness is when my kids are not only obedient, but they have a great attitude while they're being obedient. You say, hey, can you clean your room? Oh, mother, thankest thou so much for reminding me of this thing. It is what I long to do, and yay, I forgot that I needed to do that. Thank you so much for reminding me to do that which I want to do. And all the parents said, amen. That would be awesome, and we would be happy if that were true. And some of you are thinking, that's why we're not happy in our house. We're struggling. But what if, listen to me, what if pleasant circumstances is not the totality of happiness? What if being trouble-free is not the essence of what it means to be blessed? You see, what is revealed to us in Scripture is there is something deeper, greater than grander than circumstances. There's an inner joy and there's a peace that's beyond whatever it is we're facing in life. You see, those of old actually had a different expectation than we have. They expected life to have its up moments. They expected life to have its down moments. They expected life to have moments that were circumstantially pretty good, and were also going to be times that were pretty stressful where there were problems and struggles, and they didn't think life was going to be free of problems and struggles until we got to heaven. You see, in biblical thought, the idea of blessing has to do with not circumstantial perfection. It has to do with being on the right path. It is this confidence. This is something deep inside of us that even if the road is not always easy, even when the road is not easy, we know that we are blessed. We can be happy because the road we're on, we are confident, is taking us where we ultimately want to be in life. And Jesus said that is not only possible, that is why I came. Jesus designed humanity to live in abundance. Eden is what we were designed for. The garden. No sins, no struggles, no problems. Just walking with him, yet we rebelled. We sinned and we got off the path. And Jesus said, I came to give you an opportunity to get back on the path and live the way I designed you to live. Have the abundance that I designed for you to have. I designed you to live a blessed life. And Jesus said, if you want to return to this blessed life, I can enable you, I can empower you to do that. Jesus said, may we have grace to hear his words. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Satisfied. So let's get really honest this morning. If you were to look at your home, don't care how it's made up, you can be a single person living by yourself in an apartment. That's your home. You can have roommates. You can be married without kids. You can be married with kids. You can be married and your kids are grown. You can be grandparents. All sorts of situations. Blended family, single parent homes. It matters not. If you were to look at your home in light of this, we look at the way we use our time, the way we use our money, the resources of our life. What would they say we hunger and thirst for? What would it be that we are investing our time and resources into that we believe will give us satisfaction? I would challenge that as Americans, we look for satisfaction in one of five places. I've dealt with a lot of people over a long period of time, have walked a lot of this life, discovered myself in the same place. Like, we look for satisfaction in pleasure in life. We think, man, if I can just get to the next vacation, if I can just take a cruise, if I can win the lottery, God, give me the numbers to the lottery and I'll tithe on it. It's a win for your kingdom. It's a win for me. And I'll just spend the rest of my life playing golf. You know what I'm saying, right? Or we get more base than that and think, if I can just make it to Friday. On Friday, I can get drunk and I can just forget all this mess called life. Then I will be satisfied. Come on, the Proverbs makes an interesting statement. It says, death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of humans. The massive wealth of our society has given us more opportunities for pleasure than any group of people in the history of mankind, and yet we do not find ourselves to be happy. We find ourselves to be angry as a nation. Does that make pleasure wrong? No, it just means maybe it wasn't ultimately intended to satisfy. We also look at performance. You know what I'm saying, right? It could be my performance, or in the home, it can be my kids' performance. Man, if my business grows to be to this certain size, or if I get this promotion to this job, or if I do well in this sport, or maybe more pertinently, my kid does so well in a sport, or if my kid makes this kind of grade, then I will be satisfied, but our kids have performed and we find ourselves in the cycle where we want them to do more. We have gotten that promotion and yet it didn't ultimately satisfy. Why? The eyes of humans are never satisfied. It can be in our possessions. Did you know that the number of possessions offered to the average American doubles every 10 years? So in 2024, there are double the number of possessions available to us to choose from than we had in 2014. Can anyone say Amazon? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Right? Don't look at me all spiritual. I see the truck driving in your neighborhood, stopping right in front of your house. We're all there. I get it. I would dare say most of us, if we look back in our lives 20 and 30 years, some of us are that old, and we say, look at our lives now. Do we have more possessions right now than we ever thought we would have? If you do not think you have that much stuff, I challenge you to do something. Move. And just see how much stuff, because you're going to go, where did we get all this stuff? Are we doubly satisfied with double the amount of stuff? The eyes of humans are never satisfied. Sometimes we look for satisfaction in positions, for our station in life. I need this certain job. I've had single people convinced, man, if I could just get married. If I could just get married to that right person, I would never have any other need in the world. And every married person just starts to chuckle, right? I've had married people. If I could just be single again, come on. You get what I'm saying? If I could just have kids. If my kids would just get grown and get out of my house, then I would be satisfied. The eyes of humans are not satisfied. Sometimes we look at popularity. This is big in America. How many friends do I have on Facebook? How many followers do I have on Instagram? I made this post. How many people liked my post? How many people commented on my post? Are my kids part of the in-group? Are they cool? Are they popular? Listen to me. The eyes of humans, never satisfied. I mean, you're shaking your head as I list all these things because we know. We've tried them all. We thought, man, if I could just get to this place then, I would be ultimately satisfied. Interestingly, none of these things, the possessions, the performance, the positions in life, the popularity, none of those are in essence wrong. In fact, they can be a gift from God. But the problem with humans is we tend to take gifts from God and we try to make out of them what only God can give to us. We try to get from his gifts what we can only get from him. See, these things are never intended. They weren't created to satisfy, to bring lasting happiness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Notice, we hunger, he satisfies. If we want our homes, if we want our families to be beyond happy, we want our homes truly to be blessed, I'm going to challenge us to do something. I need you to really listen in to me right here because you could really misunderstand what I'm about to say. If we want homes that are really blessed, homes that bring a level of satisfaction, then I'm going to challenge us to do something radical and make a commitment to quit just being Christian families. I know. Some of you are writing on your notes right now, heretic. Don't do it. Just hang with me. I want us to quit just being a Christian family. And I want us to make a commitment to become a Christ-centered family. Listen to me here. Jesus is telling us Christ-centered homes are blessed. I think you're picking up what I'm laying down. See, in our society, especially in our area, the word Christian, a lot of people lay hold of that word and say, yeah, that's what I am. A large percentage of Americans, even in this day and age, still lay hold that the word Christian is true of their home. But just because we say we are something doesn't make us that thing, does it? Like you can call yourself a duck and you can quack. Doesn't make you a duck. Unless you can fly and lay eggs, you're not a duck. You're just a weird person going around quacking, right? If we want to be blessed, according to Jesus, not David, according to Jesus, we don't just add a little Jesus to our life. We don't just add a little church to all the other things we're doing to make him an add-on. Because Jesus didn't say, blessed are you when you add me on to all the other things you're doing in life. Blessed are you when you follow me when it's convenient for you and it works into your family schedule. No, what did he say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. They ache deep within for righteousness, for they are the ones that are going to find the satisfaction I designed for them to have. This, listen to me, is shouted throughout the scripture. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. There is not a one of us, no matter the makeup of our home, that we don't want this to be true of our home. If you are a parent, you ache for this to be true of your kids, that they would know the future that God has for their life. And that is God's promise for our homes, but it's based upon a condition. The prophet continues, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Christ-centered homes are blessed. And all of us want to be blessed. All of us want to be in the place where we know that we are ultimately on the right path. And it's going to take us to that which is beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. So I'm going to dare us to do something today. I'm going to ask that we would dare ask the Spirit of God, because I think it might differ for each one of our homes. What would it look like for us to become more Christ-centered in our home? Instead of receiving condemnation for that, what if we just ask the Spirit of God, Spirit, how would I take a step, one step, next step? What would it look like for us to be more Christ-centered? What might need to change? If things like possessions and popularity, performance and positions, if they were just lessened, and we moved Jesus to the preeminent spot and said our home's going to center on him. I mean, what would change in the use of our times? Might we have a little less sports and more service? Might we not do this for hours, maybe turn it into minutes? And that's where we find the time to engage God in prayer. Maybe we don't work as much, spend more time together as a family. What might adjust? What might change in the use of our money? You get what I'm saying? Listen to me. I know this is challenging, but America has proved one path isn't going to work. So why do we keep going down that path thinking that if we keep doing the same things in the same way, somehow we're going to get a different result? What if we took Jesus at his word and said there's a different kind of path, and if you would dare go down that path, you're going to find what I created for you in ways that you cannot begin to imagine. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. It was Jesus right here who said that homes that are centered on him, homes that hunger and thirst for him, they are homes that are going to be blessed. Somebody shout blessed. They are homes that are going to find satisfaction in life. So I would challenge, if we have a home that isn't hungering and thirsting for Jesus, what you can do is just change your appetite. He said, David, you really can't do that. But I've actually discovered in the last few months you can. Over a year ago, my doctor looked at me. Some of you guys have had that doctor's visit. And it's like, David, do you want to live a long time? I'm weird in that. It's like, not really, doc. I wouldn't mind going to heaven pretty quick. He said, well, for the years you have on earth, do you want to be strong? Oh, yeah, you got me on that one. Yeah, I want to do that. He said, you're going to need to change some things. I said, what do you need to change? Well, you got high blood pressure. It's like, man, I'm wired so tight, I'm just high blood pressure waiting to happen. I held it off longer than I thought I would. Your cholesterol, he showed me all these numbers, cholesterols, good cholesterols, bad cholesterols, something, 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 something. And I said, what do I need to do? He said, you got to change. He said, you got to lose some weight. I said, okay, I've had trouble losing weight. So I actually got on one of those new popular drugs to help you lose weight, and it helped me lose weight. I lost it really fast, but the side effects are less than joyful. I'm just telling you that right now. And I said, I ain't staying on this forever. I lost the weight I wanted to lose. I got off of it, and then I came to a realization. Because the medicines, they decrease your appetite. You get off of them, it comes back. With a vengeance, by the way. And it's like, this whole thing's going to be a waste if I don't change some habits in my life and really begin looking at what I shove into my pie hole. And the word pie hole is probably the indicator of the real issue right there. I love pie. And anything like pie. I could look back to my life, and I really had to come to a point of, I'm probably addicted to sugar. I know some of you think, well, didn't we do a series called The Daniel Plan a while back? Yeah, it was several years ago. And I lived on The Daniel Plan for like 3 days, just to be honest with you. And I knew something was going to have to shift. So I quit eating almost all sugar. I mean, some of you guys can take a bite of like chocolate cake and be done with it. Like you can eat an Oreo and be done. I eat sleeves of Oreos. I'm not lying to you. And it's like, I just can't do it. So I said, I'm going to quit. Eating sugar. You can't avoid all sugar, but I've cut out a lot of sugar. And I started making myself eat things that I didn't particularly like vegetables. I'm not lying to you. I've eaten more vegetables in the last 7 months than I have the entirety of my life combined. And it is strange. But here's what's unique. As I've gotten further into the journey, I'm finding that I actually like some of the things that are good for me. It's like my appetite is changing. That I hungered for that which was honestly destructive to me. And I've begun liking something. Now, am I saying that broccoli is to the level of chocolate cake? Not there yet. I'm just going to be honest with you, okay? I mean, maybe it won't be, but I can tell you the other day, like, I ordered a side of broccoli for the first time in my life. My wife looked at me and was like, who are you and what did you do with my husband? It's never happened and such. But here's what I've discovered. I've discovered my appetite is changing, and I'm liking that which brings energy, that which brings strength, that which helps me be focused. If I may, I'm feeling more blessed in my physical person. Can I challenge the same can be true in our journey of faith? That maybe instead of just asking God to change our appetite, what if we choose some things that are more Christ-centered? We just by faith choose those, and we cut out or we lessen whatever the Spirit of God shows us, just some of those other things in life. It doesn't mean you have to be done with them. I'm not saying we never play ball. I'm not saying we never go to a movie. I'm not saying we never have a vacation. I'm not saying, what if we just lessen some of those things into our lives and see what happens? And what I think you'll discover is over time, we're going to hunger and we're going to thirst for more and more that's righteous, more and more that's good for us, more and more that brings true satisfaction in our lives. Come on. What if there was a shift in our home? And we say, hey, there's a lot of things we desire in our home. But above everything else, the one thing we're going to do if we do nothing else is everybody in our house is going to have the best opportunity to facilitate their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what's most important. More important than popularity, more important than positions, more important than even, this is going to be radical, education. Those things are not unimportant. But more important than those things is that in our house, we are going to help each other know God. That is going to be the priority in our life. What if the highest priority in our house is to give each member the best opportunity? You can't force anybody to do it. But what if, parents, this was our greatest priority? That I'm going to, in our house, we're going to give everybody the best chance to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're going to give everybody the best chance to hunger and thirst for righteousness because we find satisfaction in those things. 16 years ago, my wife and I were on a journey with God to adopt a wonderful young girl from the Texas foster system. I'm going to tell you, at 8 years old, she was a rough little thing, and she had a rough past. And as you can imagine, we were asking people to pray with us. We were getting wisdom. We just wanted to make sure we were hearing the Lord. And a wise question that was always being asked is, what about your kids? And by our kids, they meant our bio kids who were 16 and 14 at the time. And we really pondered the question because none of us would want to do anything that would put our kids in a difficult spot. And I was praying about it one day. And it's like the Spirit of God downloaded something to me. More than anything in my life, I wanted my kids to see the gospel in action. I wanted them to see a mom and dad who didn't just go to church, who didn't just work at a church. I didn't want them to see a dad who got up on a platform and spouted certain words, and sometimes with a lot of volume behind those words. I wanted them to see a dad that even if they in the end disagreed with me, that he believed what he said he believed. That's what I wanted them to see. I mean, I actually had one well-meaning person, very gracious person, during this adoption journey say, hey, these are your kids' high school years. Shouldn't it be about them? And as a nice way I could, I said, no! Life's never supposed to be about them. I said, I want my kids to have abundance. I want my kids to have blessing. I want them to walk in everything God has for their life. And that will never happen if they make life about them. It is ultimately about Jesus. It's ultimately about his preeminence. It's ultimately about his glory. It's ultimately about his honor. And if they will live for his glory and honor, they will find abundance beyond what they can ask, think, or imagine. That's what I want for my kids. And I can say with integrity in that one decision, that was the ultimate cry of our hearts. I'd love to tell you that's the way we always lived our life and we always lived in our home, but I can't. I was thinking about this message and I thought sometimes I think I overreacted. I wanted our home to be normal because my kids were going to be pastor kids. I don't know if you know pastor's kids kind of have a reputation. And so I kind of wanted the home to be normal. And I think sometimes in wanting to become normal, we weren't quite Christ-centered enough in things. If I could do that again, I think I would do it over. But that's part of the good news of this whole thing. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be on a journey to be Christ-centered. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He didn't say you have it all together. He said Christ-centered homes are blessed, not perfect homes. You don't have to be the perfect spouse. You don't have to be the perfect parent. You don't have to be the perfect roommate. You don't have to be the perfect anything. You just got to be willing to be someone who says, Jesus, will you help me hunger and thirst for more of you? And when we do, will you take it from someone who's lived life a little longer than some, who've seen a lot of families? The promises of God are yes. And I've seen people, not in perfect homes, but in homes that are growing to be more and more Christ-centered, and I've seen their blessing. I've seen the truth of what Jesus said. Blessed. Somebody say blessed. Blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You see, when we live this way, there's a growing connection with God. When we seek him with all of our hearts, when we hunger and thirst for him, we know not just in our minds, but we feel it deep within. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You guide me on paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We know that we're connected to the shepherd. He's taken us down the right path. Abundance becoming more and more ours. Confidence, security, peace, joy, no matter the situation, strength that I know is going to be there when I need it because I'm growing closer and closer connected to him. What greater blessing than having that? What greater blessing than providing the opportunity for our spouse to have that, for our kids to have that, for our grandkids? Jesus looked at a crowd of people like this one. And in one word, he said, this is the desire of my being for you. Blessed. Will you trust me? The one who would give his life for you, would you trust me to take you on that path? So a challenge before we go, let's bow our heads. North Campus, South Campus, man, our online family right now. Again, I don't want you to feel condemned at all. There's not a one of us who thinks our home is Christ-centered enough. We can just all acknowledge that right now. But what if we just said we want to keep growing? Like maybe right now you said, if I were to really be honest about our home, Jesus is like an add-on to everything else. Okay, confess it. Jesus, I've made you an add-on. He won't work as an add-on, by the way. He will not be less than who he is. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But all you got to do is say, Father, forgive me. We want to make you first. We want to hunger and thirst for you and your ways. We want to know you better. We want that for our home. We don't know what all that means yet. Then you just ask him out. We repent where you have not been Christ-centered, where we have not been Christ-centered, and we want to be Christ-centered. And here's the one challenge. It's real simple. Would you ask the Spirit of God to show you just one thing that you feel like you need to do to become more Christ-centered? One thing right now. That's it. And then if you're married, it'd probably be wise for the two of you to talk at some point. And it might end up that you and your home have two things this week to say, what if we did this? What if we lessened this and just did more of this? What if we shifted this? You see what I'm saying? I don't know what it'd be for your home. I think the Spirit knows far, far better than I do what it needs to be in your home right now. If you're a college student and you have a roommate, would y'all be so bold as to take a step to do that? What would it look like for our dorm room to be more Christ-centered? What it would be like for our home of friends to be more Christ-centered? What's a step? And we take another step as the Spirit shows us. We take another step. And I think what you'll find is your appetite begins to shift to that which is life-giving and abundant. What starts as a choice becomes natural. And our hunger and thirst for righteousness rises. Jesus, we can't help but say thank you. It is hard for me to believe that you would long for us more than we at times long for ourselves. Forgive us when we are too easily satisfied. Forgive us, oh God, when we take the gifts that you give to us and we elevate them to do what only you can do for us. Take us on a journey. Would you help us, oh God, to walk in the path of blessing? I speak over every home that is within the hearing of this, that we can be a home that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. We can be homes of grace and truth. We can be homes of compassion and love. We can be homes of peace and joy. We can be homes of happiness, not in the American sense, but in the sense of yours. We will be homes that are blessed because we have centered our life on you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for the blessing of children and grandchildren and spouses and friends. Give us grace to bring glory to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.